Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Join me, Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud, as we talk about this new year. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
So you would think then it's linked to my childhood.
We didn't make a link.
Oh.
We talked about what we heard you say.
What is the one thing that he does that causes you the most disappointment in your marriage?
I'm doing okay.
That usually means you're not.
You believe in Jesus, correct?
Yes, I do.
Well, then you have eternal life. Now, how you feel on any given day really doesn't have a lot to do with that fact.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Glad you've joined us today. When I say us, I'm talking about Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, co-authors of Boundaries and Other Things.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, guys. Hey. Well, it's another day, and I'm just wondering how people are doing on their New Year's resolutions, how things are going, and I just hope and pray that if you're struggling, that you might just, rather than consider yourself a failure, consider that maybe you had a little setback and get right back on track. I think that's Satan loves to get us to say we're going to do a bunch of new, different things, and then when we don't pull it off, he sends us down a totally other track versus us just saying, okay, let's pick it right back up. Let's start over and let's stay going that same direction.
And he also says, well, just try harder.
Yeah.
I bet you can do it this time.
Yeah, come on. Hang in there.
Sort of the difference between Judas and Peter.
And what is that?
Well, when Judas failed miserably, he went and hanged himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Peter...
Which never has a good outcome.
No.
No.
When Peter denied Christ three times and he loved him and all of that, he returned to the relationship and became a great person.
Yeah. And what I love about the Peter story is that Jesus knew Peter was going to betray him, deny him, knew it was going to happen, already had the plan worked out for Peter to be the foundation of the church, even knowing that when it came right down to test his loyalty, Peter was going to absolutely fail, and fail again. I love that.
Right. I often look at that as a great template for good relationships in the human sense. Like, you know how a lot of people, when they have a good relationship, they think, and then something happens, there's an alienation or a problem, then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, this person is not safe for me or betrayed me, and these things happen. Versus people that sort of say, well, you know, I expect failure to happen between us. How can we come back and redeem it,
right,
and make it better? And they kind of look at it as blips in the big ocean of the relationship. That's how God looks at it.
I think if you can't make allowances for each other in a relationship, it's absolutely going to fail. God knows our struggles, our weaknesses. He's made a big allowance for all of us. If we can't do that for each other, we're never going to have right relationship with each other. You got to make allowances.
Well, if you don't do that, then you are you're basically on the law, and the law kills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. So you fail me, I'll fail you back, and it's just
right,
you know, infinite regression downward. If we do that, versus the law of love, which says when you fail me, I'll give you something good back, and that takes us the other direction.
Mm.
Boy, you look in like the Old Testament, you see how many times God does that. He sets the reset button. You know, he says,
right,
well, let's try it this way, and here's what I'll do, and then we fail. He says, okay, here's some consequences, let's try it again, and he just never gives up.
I like that reset. That was good,
mm-hmm,
John. Sort of like on a computer, hit the reset.
Forgiveness is the
reboot. Sometimes.
The reboot key.
Well,
for relationship.
He installs new programs, does updates and upgrades and stuff.
That's true. And he sent us one big email, the Bible, and that's what we believe in here. And I mean, he did, really.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he inspired
and
it.
And it didn't have a virus with it when he sent it.
Inspiration. We'll take a break and come back with your phone calls here on New Life Live.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I'm about 100 pounds overweight. I'm 30 years old, and I'm just really discouraged. I'm scared, and yeah. I don't want to fail again.
Does this sound like your story? It doesn't have to. You don't have to be defined by how much you weigh any longer. New Life's Living Light Workshop can help. The workshop features main sessions presented by Steve Arterburn and Michelle Spadafora, plus small group sessions led by a licensed Christian counselor, and morning workout sessions designed to meet you at your own pace. It takes place in Washington, D.C., January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. If you're finally ready to stop going from diet to diet and begin a comprehensive plan that provides freedom in every area of your life, the Living Light Workshop is the weight loss and living free plan for you. Call 1-800-639-5433 or newlife.com. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. Let's go to Doug. He's in Little Rock and is one of those people listening to us on XM Satellite Radio, which is kind of cool. How you doing, Doug?
I'm great, and XM Radio is quite cool. I've had it for about 4 days, and
hey, Doug, who's your wireless carrier, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah, you made a good decision on that XM radio, but I'm telling you, Doug, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? We can't hear you, buddy.
Doug, try again.
Doug, try again. Okay, you are in a bad.
Call us back.
Call us back. I'm going to put you on hold.
We need the guy in the Sprint trench coat.
Yeah, and I'm going to see if Karen can get you back on there, You know, go stand next to a recycling bin where there's a lot of aluminum or something, and maybe that'll help the antenna reception there. We'll try to get back to you on that.
But he likes XM.
Yeah, he was saying, you could hear him say he's had it 4 days and loves it, and we're on it. Well, let's go to Julia. She's calling us from Cincinnati, Ohio. WAKW is the station there. Hi, Julia. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thanks so much for taking my call. Kind of like in a stumbling block right now. I've been married for almost 10 years and just recently had our fourth child, and have found my husband's been messing around with pornography. And it's kind of come and gone throughout our whole marriage, him telling me that it's okay, he's over it, he's through, and now I just can't tolerate it anymore.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not going to leave him. I love him. He's a Christian. And I know he's just not walking closely with the Lord, but I need an ultimatum. What can I tell him? I mean, I feel like I've said everything I can possibly say, and his word means nothing to me anymore.
Julia, besides, you know, probably letting him know how you felt about it and that it was not something you want in your home, have you required him to do something besides abstain?
Well, he has gone to counseling in the past.
For this?
Well, he has told me that he's discussed it, but then he's not really stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been
an issue. Have the two of you gone to talk to somebody together?
No.
Well, then do that.
See, the rule of thumb is when somebody has something like this that they're kind of minimizing or not, you're more serious about it than they are, or it's more of your problem than their problem, you kind of know when they go into the counselor's office a lot of times they'll find other things to talk about because they don't see it like you do. So it's when you go, the three of you together, and you open up your heart so it's on the table of how deeply it affects you and probably what the realities are that are really going on, how often it's being used, what times, how severe it is, then you've diagnosed the problem that it may not have been even diagnosed yet to the counselor.
He told me he only did it this time, he said, because, you know, we just had a baby and it's been so long.
Steve has an answer to that
one.
Anytime a husband says that to his wife, Steve has an answer. What's Steve's answer to that?
Well,
always.
I would say to him, well, what do you think of
this? Because what he has consistently and accurately said every time, it has nothing to do with you, your beauty, your unavailability, any of that, Julia.
Right.
And that's never an okay excuse.
And I know that in my head. you know.
Well, but the problem is he doesn't know it in his head.
Right.
And what we're
right.
talking about is bringing some resources to bear and some insights to him and some help to him so that the wisdom and the desire to change moves from inside of you to inside of him, where it's not right now.
Here's what I think is at stake. I think you are at a crossroads where you're asking your husband, it's not really totally about pornography. It's about, are we going to go through life solving problems together and coming closer together whenever either of us struggle?
Right.
Or are we going to stay split off, making excuses for our irresponsible behavior?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to have my problem over here, and you're going to have yours. But when you do what John's saying and Henry's saying, going to get help together and saying, look, this isn't his pornography problem. This is our problem as a couple. Let's solve this together. Boy, this can be the turning point of your relationship.
Yeah, Julia, but it does require you to do kind of a 180 in your head that Steve's talking about to realize even though the porn is, you know, deeply upsetting and hurtful to you. Steve's right. It's not the big problem. And I want you to put your emphasis on the big problem being disconnection, alienation, and probably deception, and use those as the keys. Because when you connect with those and you fix those, the other really does handle itself.
It's so,
and also when you stop focusing on just the porn as the problem
right.
and make what you don't have in the relationship together the problem. Because when he's off doing porn, obviously he's not connecting with you. And so you miss him, you're lonely, you want him, and also you would do well to hear from him. What is it? Is there anything in life that you're doing that make it difficult for him to be close, that make it difficult for him to feel vulnerable and with you? And then when both people start working on their side of things, then you tend to see the problem go away.
It's so wonderful to see somebody, maybe who, as an adolescent, they've had this life, and then off on the side is this sexual part of them. And it's not integrated into who they are. Then they get married, and the same thing happens. They've got this little private sex life over here with pornography and all. To see them start to integrate that into who they are and into the marriage, it creates a totally new reality for them, and it's an exciting place to live.
And you know what else happens? A lot of times, like a man, for example, that has a split like that, will pick a woman out of the kind of good part of his split.
Right.
Sort of like, you know, the good girl, sort of the one who's maybe holier than he was able to be or whatever. And yet he's got this kind of bad boy fantasy life. And then when he begins to integrate and bring all of himself to her, what happens is the kind of saintly good girl finds all of her split off passions that she was drawn to in the bad boy, and then she becomes a much more, you know, kind of completed and integrated, passionate person as well. And this is what sex therapists see all the time. When couples, one begins to integrate, the other begins to integrate.
Right.
And what else you find out is that a person, a lot of times, who picked a woman out of the good part of a split hasn't really left home emotionally from his own mother, but the one who picks the bad girl from the bad part of his split has a lot of times been able to leave home, and maybe even has disconnection from the parents. It's you really have to chase these things down. It's important.
I would say the
we
most
need a, like a flip chart.
Big
I'm
good
following
part,
these
bad,
maths.
Or, yeah. I'd say the most overriding, amazing, dramatic result of the Every Man's Battle Workshop are men going back home and now the sexuality in their life is part of their marriage versus separate and distinct.
First time.
Yeah. And then they're starting to work on it together. I'm going to send you information on Every Man's Battle Workshop, and I'll send you the book Every Man's Battle. If he hasn't read it, I think it will help him. Let's see if Doug is around and if he got into a good area. Doug, are you there?
I am trying to be here.
Hey, you are there. Well,
great.
I think you were saying that you were enjoying your XM satellite radio and you've had it for 4 days.
I've had it for 4 days. I've got 101 channel choices, and I'm stuck on you guys. So I just keep listening to channel
17. How did you find us? Were you just scanning one day, or did you know about it?
They classify the different channels, and there's a couple of genres for Christian radio, and you guys are one of them.
Yeah. Doug, do you spend a lot of time on the road, or do you use XM like as you're just floating around town?
No, I'm on the road quite a bit. In fact, I just finished. I'm on the tail end of about a 12-hour drive back to my home base. So it's just wonderful in that regard.
Cool.
Traveling guy.
Well, how could we help you today, Mr. XM?
Well, I am a 43-year-old business professional. I guess I consider myself fairly successful, happily married, beautiful wife, two children. But I've got a couple of things that I struggle with, and I think my self-diagnosis is they may be interrelated. One is I've always had a difficult time accepting the grace of God in that I'm actually worthy, or maybe there's no test for it, but that I am capable of being that loved. And then secondly, for the last 20 years or so, on and off, I've struggled with alcohol abuse. I guess addiction is the word that I try to stay away from, but it's probably true.
Tell us in the alcohol struggle, how much you would drink when you're really, really doing a lot of drinking there?
Half a fifth.
Okay.
In an evening setting.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that those two ideals, or those two things, those two negatives are related, and I've been listening to you with interest, but I'm also I like to read a lot. I've read Boundaries. I loved it. And I'm wondering if there are some resources that I need to try before I just say, to heck with it, I'm getting on the plane and heading that way. Mm-hmm.
No, I think that you should say the heck with it and get on the plane and go do it and read the resources. Because what the resources are going to tell you is that you need to get on the plane and go do it, Doug. But one of the comments that you mentioned is something I think a lot of people sometimes have even been taught that's wrong. Trying to get to a place to where you are worthy of grace is an oxymoron, because grace means unmerited favor. And so grace means that you are loved in your unworthiness. So the best thing that any of us can do is say we're totally unworthy of anybody's love, and try to be good enough to deserve it is self-defeating and actually can keep an addiction going. So the best thing you do is get on the plane and go to Calvary and sit down and find yourself in a group with other unworthy people that God loves, and then you start to change from the bottom up.
Yeah, Doug, a lot of times a person who has been without grace, who can't experience it, who can't take it in for whatever reason, will go to an addiction because that will help to soften and anesthetize the self-hatred, the feeling bad about yourself, all the attacks that are inside someone's soul. And so they go together very well, and it's probably time to take some time to do this.
You know, a cool thing, Doug, is that your life is kind of a disconnected, avoidant lifestyle. You're on the road 12 hours. You kind of created a world where you're not connected to people, and you're kind of disconnected from God, can't feel His love. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Recovery connects you with people. You will have a different world when you finally surrender your disconnected world and say, you know what, at 43, I'm going to start living and pursuing and connecting with other people, and that's where recovery will take you. And you cannot find that in a book, I don't think. You'll need to get the treatment to get there.
I think I knew the answer, but I wanted to hear it from you guys.
If you had said to us, I abuse alcohol and I drink a couple of glasses of wine, you know, every other weekend or something, I think our answer might have been different. But there aren't a lot of people that really can hold down a job and drink a half-fifth in a setting.
Yeah, that's a lot of tolerance here.
Yeah. So the fact that you are successful and able to drink that much, it's just not going the direction you want it to go. So we'll send you the information, and I hope that you'll call us back and tell us that you went and what happened there. I was just over there last month. You're going to be so grateful you went.
And I pledge to you that I will call you back.
Okay.
Just a kind of a P.S. there, Doug. It's really, you know, hats off to you because you see the problem and you want to find God in here and you want to do the right thing. And so, good for you.
All right, Doug, thank you for your phone call. And I'm going to ask everybody to pray that you'll have the courage to do what you need to do, and that you'll persevere. You'll allow God to do a great work in your life.
He'll find that grace.
And I'm also going to ask that God use this phone call, that others would feel motivated to finally do what they need to
to do.
All right. You're listening to New Life Live. Our free tips this week, five things you can do to change your life. I got to stop doing that because talking about that. I'm so moved that Doug, he picks up the phone, he calls, and he says, he just wanted a little confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is so different than the world of denial where you're saying, big deal, I can handle this.
But when I think about all the times, all the pivot points in my life, there was a lot of kind of, I think I know the right thing to do, but there was a lot of times a person that would just kind of nudge me,
mm-hmm.
and that's all it took was a little nudge.
A little nudge, yep. Okay, anyway, very moving. Thank you, Doug, for your call. Our resource, Fresh Brewed Life, it's by Nicole Johnson. And the five things you can do to change your life, those are our free tips at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. If you've not seen the website, go there. It's really a very, very unique and helpful website, newlife.com. We'll take a break and come back for more New Life.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back and having a good time here on New Life. And glad you joined us today. Now, sometimes, if you've been listening to the program very long, sometimes we cannot contain ourselves at the break.
Goodness.
And this is one of them. And, it's important people know we never are laughing about callers or anybody we've talked to. It's always about just us being
Steve.
Friends and talking
usually
each other. Hey, talking about laughter, lose it for life, it's a lot of fun. I mean, that's one of the things people say on their evaluations, how much they laugh when they come out, and it really does help to see things from a different perspective. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you're struggling with weight. Also, the Every Man's Battle Workshop, it is the place to begin a life with sexual integrity and sexual purity. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Let's go to Michelle, calling from Tampa, Florida, WTBN. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate you guys very much.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you. My question is, I have a stepson who's 16. He'll be 17 soon, and he is very involved in the Gothic culture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if
black
he's
hair?
Familiar. Pardon me?
Does he have black hair?
Oh, yes.
Black clothes?
Yes, nothing is any other color except for black. Mm-hmm. We won't let him paint his room black, but he would do it if he could. He mm-hmm. does have lots of skulls and skeletons and ring wraiths from the Lord of the Rings type creatures in his room. And it's always, my husband and I have been married for 6 years, and we blended families.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always kind of been interested in this sort of thing. He, at first when we married, he was much more antisocial. Now he's is a little more communicative. However, my concerns are, my husband and I came home the other day, and on the porch he had a couple candles going, and he had these characters, like action figure type things, and he had fishing string around their neck, and he was burning them like their body parts.
Right.
And he's always, you know, the art that he's actually very, very talented in artistic expression, but it's always blood, it's always about death, it's always...
So he's giving me a lot of signs that there's a lot of death themes inside of him.
Right, right. And, you know, unfortunately, he has had kind of a sad life. His mom kind of left the family when he was young, and before she left the entire family, she would leave him alone at home at the age of like 3 years old to go do whatever she needed to do.
Wow. Michelle, how is he doing in the other, you know, the context of life at school and friends? And...
Well, at school he does fairly well. He performs okay academically, and He does have some friends. They're all pretty much involved in the same sort of culture. But as far as life skills, I'm very concerned about the amount of skill he has just to function at this point. Let's see. Just,
any,
you know,
any spiritual interests?
Well, he does go to church. I mean, we go to church every week, and he comes with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't sing or anything, but he knows that that's a requirement to live at home. He must attend church with us. But, you know, we've had some spiritual conversations, and I even asked him, you know, how would anyone know, Scott, that you're a Christian when you look like this, you behave that way, you seem to be enchanted with evil, and your art, and he says that it's just artistic expression.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, that's true, but the expression expresses certain values.
Right.
And it also expresses certain states of one's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And my husband is not really concerned, basically. And he kind of is like a head in the sand type parent.
And there's no big crisis going on right now.
Right, unless there's...
Is your son and your husband, is your son's heart connected to your husband's heart, or are they real disconnected?
They're disconnected as far as I can see. However, he has more of a connection with he doesn't see his mother except for once every couple weeks, but he does seem to be maybe a little more connected to her. My husband is kind of very methodical, check off the list, not real relationship oriented.
And he's a junior now?
Actually, he's a sophomore. Okay. He started kindergarten late or something.
What is the question for us?
What's the question?
The most recent discovery of mine is that he has this movie in his room that actually shows a killer and their victim. And it goes through the killing. It's like mm-hmm. an underground film, and
right.
it shows the killing and the torture of the person.
Right.
And I'm alarmed, and I'm, like, really, really upset about this.
And your husband is not?
No. I mean, I think that he's really in denial.
Yeah, why don't you... the obvious thing, Michelle, would be, you know, because this is serious. You know, there are sort of... sometimes when kids are into various things and they're just kind of into it and it kind of has no meaning to them, there's no attachment to them, they're going through a weak period of enchantment with something, mm-hmm. it's one thing. But your son's heart is involved with this stuff. And I think the first thing that I would do is see if there's any possibility to get you and your husband on the same team. And I don't think that you can break through his denial. What I would do is for you and your husband to go see a good adolescent mm-hmm. psychologist who deals with this all the time. Maybe he can break through.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're talking to Michelle, whose stepson is involved in Gothic culture. And, Michelle, we're just so convinced that at this time when a dad needs to be hanging on for dear life to his son, and who really is in trouble, I think. And he's so detached from him that this is where the beginning of a new life for this boy could be, is through the father.
Well, yeah, and Michelle, the reason I suggested somebody like that is he's going to have his ways of explaining it away when you tell him. And I think that somebody that deals with this all the time can give him some scenarios of where it can go from there. And tell him, I've treated hundreds of kids who have started here, and here's where they ended up, and maybe break through the denial.
And the other thing, Michelle,
we actually have been to counselors, and
for the son.
Yeah, well, over our issues involving the son, because I think he should do something and he doesn't, so it causes problems for us.
Yeah.
And basically,
how long
I guess,
ago?
It's been about a year now, and I guess one of the good things was he wasn't torturing animals, and that was a positive thing. And my husband
said, but that's just kind of next.
Michelle, you need to look at it or have the specialist explain it to you and to him in the way that, the kid does need to become an individual and leave you guys and, chart his own destiny, finding his gifts and talents and all that, and that's really important. A lot of kids have to do that in a way that they don't have the same styles and preferences as parents. But at the same time, there are ways that to do that that are life-giving and life-affirming and not death-giving. And so he needs to be able to the specialist can help him find ways that he can feel like he's his own person, developing that, but not in ways that are going to reflect all the bad things that have gone on with him.
Okay.
And the other thing, Michelle, is it's half your house too, and if I'm going to live in a house, I would have a no death video house.
Right.
I mean, that's just, you know, we don't have videos in this house of people getting killed. And you just figure out what right. your values are, and there are certain things that where you draw the line that you won't allow in a place where you and your other kids are. And those things should not be allowed in the home. And if that brings a crisis, you know, between you and your husband, that's the crisis that takes you into counseling again. And also, I would individually, I just get a good youth pastor involved, because taking a gothic kid to a Sunday service is not going to be what grabs him, but a good youth pastor who understands that culture may be. And I would search the city to find the best one.
You know, I know this is simplistic, which much of my brain is, but when I see kids dressed like this,
deceptively simplistic,
I see a kid and I think there is a kid who is extremely angry at their parents, screaming with the way they dress, screaming at their parents with the way they look, saying, please help me here. Right. I am not normal. I am not experiencing life normally.
They're feeling tortured inside.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
feeling murdered
right.
inside.
Oh. Right. So don't just think this is a mode of dress. This is a reflection of the heart.
Yeah, and what you have to see a lot of adolescent behavior, exactly like you said, Steve, is the kid is asking, how far do I need to go before you set the limit?
All right. I hope that's helpful to you. Thank you for your phone call. Let me send you Raising Great Kids. I hope that will be an encouragement to you. Let's go to Donna in Washington, Pennsylvania. Listens to WORD. Hi, Donna. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How are you guys? I love your show.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I are having a little disagreement. We're both Christians, and my children are, too. I have two daughters. The one daughter is 18. She's a freshman at college. She has a friend who I think she wants, and I know for sure, that she wants to be more involved with as a boyfriend, dating and that kind of thing. The only problem is he's 32.
Is he still in college?
No. He has a job. He teaches kids that are getting their GED. He has a good job. He's a very nice person. I like him a lot. I've known him a few years, and I've known his family a few years also.
You like him except for the age thing's a problem.
I don't have a problem with the age. My husband does.
Oh, you're the one that thinks it's okay.
Yeah, and my husband.
So you're calling
said,
about helping you and your husband resolve the difficulty between yourselves?
I'm in between you and your husband. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Okay. I think the age thing is not a problem in 4 years. And if it was my daughter, I would probably...
I was going to say in 5 or 6 years.
Five or six would be better. I would probably go to the 32-year-old nice man, and I would say, I think you're one of the nicest men, and you're the kind of person that I would love for my daughter to have a relationship with and be married to. But she's 18, and she needs to go through college and have those experiences.
Right.
And if it's meant to be, she'll be there one day, and I would ask him to commit to you that he would not pursue her.
And what do I say to my daughter who does not have a problem with this, who probably...
I'd say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Say, you know what, I'm really thrilled that the kind of person that you're attracted to and drawn to is this kind of person of character.
Nice. Character.
And
yep.
One good thing about people of character is that if, you know, you're supposed to be together and whatever, he'll still be there, and if not, he won't. But the point is that you're in way different phases of life, and you know, at 18, even though you're a legal adult, you're really not an adult because you haven't done the leaving home thing yet, and like Steve said, gone through college, and I don't want you to be robbed of the rest of your in-between years. And just tell her that.
Yeah, she is a good person now, it sounds, Donna, but she's not who she's going to be. She's still in the oven. And so it's not time to be with somebody who's out of the oven yet.
And why don't you think it's a problem?
Why don't I think the age group difference is a problem?
Why don't you agree with us that this is a problem for her right now?
Like, is your husband 97 or something? Or?
No. No, we're the same age. No, I guess I think why I'm so on her side, I guess is how you want to put it, is because I think that whenever my husband approaches her about this relationship being too close, he gets mad at him, and then I want to patch things up all the time.
If your husband dealt with it in a more neutral way, would you be more on the wait side?
If I had to be.
Well, you're a parent. You got to take a side.
Right, I know.
Donna,
yeah.
Why are you so invested in this? What do you mean if you had to be?
Well, I'm always trying to make peace in the family, and I don't want, like,
Let me ask you this, though. Do you feel trapped in your marriage, and it's almost like you're living through her getting out of the trap? And get, I mean, are you kind of projecting some of your stuff onto her?
I didn't think so. No, I think that she's.
I would be so unhappy about my 18-year-old daughter being with a 32-year-old man and missing out on one of the most incredible segments of life. And
unless you're so conflict avoidant and so fearful of conflict, and you're always having to put up fires, that's the big brain damage.
That could be. I mean, I think I do that a lot, but
yeah, and Don, I think you know what our answer is, but I would add just one other thing that probably with an 18-year-old. If she is attracted to a 32-year-old, there's something that she's trying to either repair or avoid, because the 18 to 22 kind of window is that leaving home window. And I would just begin to look at, you know, what are the dynamics that are driving this? Mm. It's possible that there are none. You know, to the pure, all things are pure, and this guy may be the best guy that there ever was, and that's what's going on. But I would just want to know, is she acting out against her dad, for example, or is she afraid to kind of separate and go and be an adolescent or be a young adult in college without a parent figure around? And I would just kind of, you know, talk about those kind of dynamic issues. Why? What is it about 18-year-olds that she doesn't like, et cetera?
Yeah, a lot of times you'll hear, well, they're not mature. I like a mature person. And sometimes that means I need more of a father around me.
So hearing Henry say that, do you suspect that she may be doing something not for the 32-year-old, but maybe against her father?
Well, I don't know. I mean, her and her dad are, when they're, if they're not disagreeing about something like this, they're really pretty close, you know. And she does, you know, she goes to him for advice, and she will talk to him. But
okay.
But then when they fight and when they don't have the same opinion, then
Well, there you go. That may be something to think about. But the other thing is, you know, what happened to her teenage years? Did she have them with peers?
Donna
was on a ball team, and you know she had, you know, she played ball and hung out with kids her own age. And,
okay. All right. Well, we got to go because the break is coming up. But there's some things to think about, and we wish you well.
All right, thank you for your phone call, Donna, and let me send you Fresh Brewed Life. It's our resource this week. It is the book by Nicole Johnson. Also, you can get the free tips, 5 things you can do to change your life at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
433 pounds.
How long have you weighed that much?
I've probably been over 300 at least 15, 20 years. I'm 39. I feel like I've just been a failure in every area of my life.
Does this sound like your story? It doesn't have to. You don't have to be defined by how much you weigh any longer. New Life's Living Light Workshop can help. The workshop features main sessions presented by Steve Arterburn, plus small group sessions led by a licensed Christian counselor, and morning workout sessions designed to meet you at your own pace. It takes place in Washington, D.C., January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. If you're finally ready to stop going from diet to diet and begin a comprehensive plan that provides freedom in every area of your life, the Living Light Workshop is the living free plan for you. Call 1-800-639-5433 or newlife.com.
You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and you. And we're glad that you're with us. If you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and tell us that you can support the program, we'll send you a pretty neat magnet. I know, it's kind of disappointing. It's not a mug. It's not a clock.
I can hear the lines burning up.
Yeah.
Now.
Where's my magnet? But hey, look, this is the best we could do this month. But it's a beautiful magnet, and it's got seven words on it that really are foundational in the transformation of people's lives. And I hope that you'll call us and say you can support us, and we'll send that to you.
It follows a biblical precedent, Steve, because we're supposed to put words, you know, bind them around our hearts and those kinds of things. And these are ways to put them in the refrigerator so you can
bind it around your freezer.
Hey, I got a question, Steve.
Yeah.
When you're up at Seattle Pacific,
mm-hmm.
why don't they give you like an honorary doctorate? Have you asked them?
I thought you had one.
I have two.
You already have two?
I knew you had this one.
How come we don't call you Dr. Arterburn?
Because I want you to call me master. Don't you know that?
How many master's degrees do you have?
One. But it's a really good one. It's actually a double degree in counseling and administration. Lois from Wilmington, Delaware, WFIL, is the station. How you doing?
Okay.
Would you be impressed to know that I have an honorary doctorate degree from University of Vacant Lot?
I am.
Thank you.
I think that's neat.
Yeah. How could we help you, Lois? And by the way, you've been on hold for 109 minutes. You're a member of the, that makes you a member of our 100 Club.
Okay.
And you know what we do to people within member of the 100 Club? We send you our metal travel mug.
Okay.
It's on its way.
Great.
Are you overwhelmed now, Lois?
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear it.
My question is how to deal with my feelings of fear, guilt and anger relating to a misunderstanding with my adult daughter.
What happened?
Well, unfortunately, it's Christmas Day, but she has not been too happy lately, and so I tell her that I love her a lot, and she, you know, Mr. Wright hasn't come along yet.
She's unhappy and, because she's single.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She's 29.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That sounds so young.
Yeah, it is, really.
Anyway, go ahead.
Is she happy that she hadn't been through
four Mr. Wrongs, like a lot of 29-year-olds
mm-hmm.
are?
She had said, well, Mom, you tell me that you love me, but you don't act like you love me. I said, well, what would that be like? And she said, you would want talk to me about serious things, not just tell me news about the neighbors or the people at the church. So I thought, she told me that on Thanksgiving. So Christmas time.
What did you say to that?
I said, I didn't say much to that. I just thought, well, I'll try to think of something serious the next time.
So there's some truth to that?
Hmm?
There's some truth to that? Like you keep it light sometimes?
Well, that's true because, in fact, it seems like our relationship hasn't been going anywhere the past year. She's really keeping me at a distance, and so I feel sort of uncomfortable. Mm. And my own mother is one who never deals with a serious subject. It's always...
But Lois, you just said something really interesting. You've said she's keeping you at a distance, and she's telling you... You, kind of the same thing. You keep her at a distance because you don't talk about deeper things.
Unless Lois backed off, you know, and now the daughter's saying, okay, now I'm ready for you to get deeper because now you've backed off. Like she's missing it. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
We're theorizing.
That could be it because I was really surprised when, after our misunderstanding at Christmas, when you know, if you'll forgive me, I thought, well, I think that Every Man's Battle is kind of an interesting book. And so I was going to tell her a little bit about it, and she was just outraged. She said, Mom, I'm still single. I'm not married. I have my own problems with thoughts about sex, and I don't want to hear about other people's problems. And she was just really angry at me. And I said, well, tell me more, you know, how do you want me to talk to you? And she said, I was really surprised. She said, well, I want you to listen. I want you to ask me to tell me you more. I want you to reflect my feelings. Tell me, you know, that felt... that.
I love, felt, she sounds like a child.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to win here. If what you're describing is accurate, it sounds like you kind of, whatever you're going to do is kind of going to be wrong.
Well, it might be. And so maybe that just means she's trying to push me away a little bit. Like, we've been trying to give her too much advice. She's saying, I want to live my life. I don't care. You know, I don't want you to tell me ahead of time if I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, but she's acting out this, you know, I want you, I don't want you thing, and she's giving you mixed messages, so you're going to lose either way.
Right.
Okay.
If you do the close to, then you're smothering her, and if you do the go away, you don't really care about her. So she's got to make you bad right now, and that's something that 3-year-old does, and she's kind of not done with something.
19-year-olds do it too.
Yeah.
29-year-olds, yeah, it's
she's
kinda,
stuck.
Yeah.
Lois, I would love her and disqualify myself from that. And I would say, I'm so sorry that I come across in bad ways, and you let me know. But can I point out that I think that maybe your unhappiness about where you are in life, maybe you need to find some supportive people to help you with that and kind of get me off of it, off of the helping you find that, because I think I'm the wrong person for that. I want to be your support and your friend, but I want you to work more intensely with somebody else on this.
It's refusing to argue with a fool, really, is kind of the, I mean, a foolish person. It's saying we're not going to fight this battle anymore. It's withdrawing from the conflict.
And after that, Lois, where you kind of, you know, delegate the job of helping her to somebody else, then you could say, you know, it sounds like we have just trouble communicating. Why don't you and I together go sit down and talk to somebody, help us work out our relationship?
Yeah.
And tell her you want to get to a better place and you're willing to do that. But kind of the best thing is to wave the white flag and say, I really don't know exactly how to do what you're needing.
Let me send you, I'm thinking maybe you haven't read it yet, but I'll send you John and Henry's book, Boundaries. I hope that will be of help to you. And anybody else that hasn't read that book, it's just one of those books that everybody ought to take a few minutes and read it, or a few days, however long it takes you to read. It really can change your life. It's available at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE, along with 5 things you can do to change your life, our free tips, our resource by Nicole Johnson, Fresh Brewed Life. And for those that support us, we send you our 7 Keys magnet, reminders of 7 things that you can do to literally live the life God called you to live. And let me ask you, if you can, if God's leading you to, please support this ministry. Come alongside us here and become part of Club New Life. The benefits are wonderful. People love being part of Club New Life. We want you to be part of our giving family and supportive family. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Henry, close out the program with some wisdom from God's Word.
Well, speaking of wisdom, Steve, in Proverbs, the early chapters, it's all about what wisdom does for us. And if you go to chapter 2, what it says is that the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding, and he holds victory in store for the upright, and he's a shield to those whose walk is blameless. And then it goes on from there to say, if we start going to him and asking him for that wisdom, that it actually doesn't become, or it becomes more than go do this, it becomes a part of who you are, and then that wisdom that you embody begins to protect your life in all sorts of ways.
Mm. Let God's wisdom be the foundation of your life today, and it will protect you from many, many things. We love you. We're glad you're with us. I mean, we really love you and are glad that you're with us. We'll see you tomorrow here on New Life Live. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.